Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on Barry Trotz and his sit-down with Robbie and Michelle earlier this week, and the lottery. And they just unfair lotteries. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman in 1 hour. But now breaking down what Charles Robinson had to say this morning with Robbie and Joe, talking about the arrogance and entitlement label that Will Levis has gotten throughout the draft process. Will Levis said before the draft, you know, hey, I don't want to be one of those guys at the draft who's sitting there as I fall, and I don't want to be one of those guys while the camera's in my face, and I just don't want to do that. Apparently that didn't land very well with some NFL general managers. I don't really understand why.
Yeah, who would want to be in that situation?
I get it. And he was in that situation.
Exactly.
Poor thing. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I do understand, though, coaches and general managers and scouts, they nitpick every single teeny tiny thing. And every little thing that there could be dissected, they are going to do it. They take these things very, very, very seriously. But there was this this sentiment on draft night that Will Levis on draft night looked entitled and looked arrogant. I did not get that vibe from Will Levis. Honestly, I stepped away from it thinking, you know what? Good for Will Levis. He looks like he's taking it in stride. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's making the most of it. I didn't take anything bad away from Will Levis not coming tonight, too.
I had to laugh when Doug called about the look. He just looks suspicious. You know, there's a lot of conversations. One of my favorite is George Carlin. He said, if you ever want to get out of jury duty, just tell the judge you know how to spot guilty people just by the look of them.
I don't like your face.
I can spot guilty people just like that.
From a mile away.
It's all the distance between the eyes, just how they're looking at you. I can tell. Okay, you're out of here, Derek. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And then back to work.
Will Levis doesn't come back for night two because he just got embarrassed on national television, and now people are ripping him for that.
Now, that is an interesting one. Like, we're going to have the would you rather, but
yeah.
Doug's point, that is an interesting question. Like, what would you do? Would you stick it out and say, look, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wear it. I'm the guy. So if I get picked in the fourth round, I'll just sit here till Saturday or whatever it was. Or would you leave? That because he said some people do stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said
he wouldn't have had to stay very long, right?
No.
It was in the beginning of night two,
right.
But he decided to leave. I don't know.
And he said
I don't know
he
what
took
I would
that
do.
As pouty. Like he pouted and
right.
left. Yeah.
But again, you're going to see it the way you want to see it.
Exactly. It's in that situation, again, like you said, Willie, what is he going to do? Wait around for the third and the fourth round if he doesn't get picked in the second round? He's going to wait to the, you know, if he falls even further than that, he's just going to sit around and wait. I mean, listen, the young man was disappointed. And he chose to leave after the first round. He chose to go home and be with his family and just be around the comfort of his of the people that love him instead of being in front of a camera where cameras, now they're really going to be in on your face because you're the only person there, maybe you and another guy. So they're going to be zeroed in on you now. I don't want to have to go through having to fake smile all day and drum up conversations and all this other stuff. And everybody's nitpicking my every move and facial expression and all this stuff. I'm just going to go home.
They're nitpicking the facial expression. And poor Will Levis, everything that he did on draft night and before draft night got picked apart. Even Rich Gannon, a former NFL general manager, didn't like the look on draft night with just a ridiculous zinger of a take from Rich Gannon. This was Rich Gannon.
I think a little bit more humility would have helped him. He's got an amazing family. Obviously, a beautiful mom and sister and girlfriend. They were all with him in the draft room. My advice, maybe just one of the three and not all three. I mean, he came off looking a little bit like you know, this Don Juan, like, you know, Joe Namath. I got, you know, these three lovely ladies on my side. And again, I'm not trying to suggest that it's not okay to have your mom or your girlfriend, or your sister. This is a big moment for these players.
Well, isn't that what you're saying?
Come on.
That didn't make not one damn sense, Rich Gannon. Not one damn sense.
Hey,
and I want to say worse, but I can't. But that didn't make a damn sense.
He's Rich a Don Gannon. Juan because he has his mom there and his sister.
He has his mother. It's not his mom's and his sister's fault. Well, it's not his sister's fault that his mom is nice looking and his dad is probably nice looking. And it's not his mom's fault that her parents were nice looking. Damn, Rich Gannon, shut up.
That's bad.
Like, it's like if you
that's,
see, that's what we talk
that's
about.
A bad take.
That's what we talk about. When you don't like something about, when you don't like someone, you nitpick at every little thing. All those young men, they had the people that they felt were closest to them, around them. I would love to have it like that. Hell, I would have loved to have been in that situation. It would have looked a little bit different. It would have been my brothers and, you know, my then fiance and then, you know, my mom and dad.
Careful but it, with both mom and fiance, Derek.
Yeah, you're
maybe
right
too
about
many.
Yeah. It's too many women.
Good-looking
yeah,
women
too
in
many
one good-looking
women. You can't do that. But my thing is, I don't care. He had the people around him that supported him, that loved him. I don't care if they looked like the most beautiful thing in the world or they look like a bag of chips that got ran over by a car about 30 times. It doesn't matter. They love you. They're there. If they were not good looking, as Rich Gannon said, would he have said anything about that? Probably not.
I mean, come on. Like, if he had brought
his
frat buddies, you know, and
exactly.
They're out there drinking beer and have a keg or something, and then that's one thing. But it's just
what he
did was very normal. Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody.
That was crazy.
It's ridiculous. And basically, what Rich Gannon is implying is Will Levis fell down draft boards because his mom is good looking. I mean, like, we are reaching
Here. Wilson shouldn't have never got drafted. Well, he really shouldn't have never got drafted in the first round because of his play. But if you're basing it on the good-looking people around him, his mom was a nice-looking lady. Well, she shouldn't have been there, or he shouldn't have got drafted based upon what Rich Gannon just said.
So basically, the label that has been placed on Will Levis of arrogance and entitlement, at least from what we know, what we have seen, the root of it has been he's got a good-looking family.
Mm-hmm.
He took a bag of chips. He posts pictures on Instagram of himself looking in the mirror, which, mm-hmm. like, it's funny, but
but
you
I
know,
do.
I get that. The
that's
vanity
the one I'm like,
part
yeah.
of it.
But,
he puts mayonnaise in his coffee, which is psycho.
Quite questionable.
Yeah. Quite questionable. But all of these things, to your point, Derek, it just feels like we want to have this label on him. Mm-hmm. So anything we do, or he does rather, we'll just say, oh, well, that's the entitlement. That's the arrogance. Does Will Levis have some growing up to do? Yeah, he probably does. His social media practices could be refined a little bit. When you're a quarterback in the NFL, you can't be posting pictures of yourself naked in the mirror. But whatever. I think he has some growing up to do. Mm-hmm. But he's 22, 23 years old. A lot of these guys have a lot of growing up to do. And I think that this label is unfairly placed on him just based off of what we know.
And even if the label is somewhat true, and let's just say it's somewhere there's some
what,
truth.
What, that he's a gigolo?
No, okay. Don Juan, I believe.
Yeah,
is what
Don Juan. Excuse
Juan.
Me.
Rich Gannon
excuse
said.
Me, yes.
was Don Juan a gigolo?
Yes. Maybe.
Juan.
I don't know.
Like when you look up gigolo, they say examples. Don Juan.
It might be Will Levis now.
Examples. Will Levis. According to Rich Gannon.
Exactly.
And what about Rich? What about Rich back in the day? I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Rich
don't
is
know.
Just mad that his sisters aren't good looking
enough. Exactly. That's what it boils down to. Yes. That's what it boils down to.
But I think what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? As you grow up, you gain wisdom. You learn from things, right? I think you see plenty of people grow out of acting the fool, whatever you want to say, when you were in college. And you look back on those college days and what an idiot I was. What was I thinking? You know?
Exactly.
But let's hope you get the signal, right? I've seen many, and look, it can cross the line with hazing and things like mm-hmm. that, but that's one of the things that happens. You come into a team of veterans. You say, hey, rookie, let me teach you a few things here. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they go about it the right way. But, hey, this isn't how we do things here. You know, like mm-hmm. if you're acting goofy like that in whatever way. They kind of knock you down a peg. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what system is like that for Levis. And if he has some guys don't have a clue. They don't ever get it. Some guys are like, okay, you're right. I got to knock off this silly stuff over here.
But, okay.
Next time I won't grab the chips.
Yeah, next time I won't grab the chips. Next time I won't bring my mom and sisters with me when we go to a big event. So, because Rich Gannon said so, so I should do it, okay?
Don Juan would be a great nickname, though, for Will Levis. Yeah, if he ends up being awesome.
DJ.
We're going to give him that. We're going to give him that name. Yeah. But, again, I want to see, because we're seeing the Will Levis post-season, like after the season. He's, you know, getting prepared for the draft. He has a little bit more free time. He doesn't truly have to concentrate on the playbook and knowing what the other team is doing. Was he doing these same, quote-unquote, TikTok things or these things that people deem arrogant now? Was he doing those during the season? Because if he wasn't, if he was concentrating on football and football alone and going to class, then more than likely that's the guy we're getting, that guy. Because in season, this is the guy that we're getting. And when he becomes a NFL quarterback, he's going to learn. Like, quarterbacks don't do this. Like, this is one of the groups throughout the NFL. Receivers, they post. They receivers would probably post if they could, catching the ball in real time. If they could have their Snapchat take them as they're catching the ball in the game.
Jeez.
I think receivers would do that.
How many times do you see the guy look up at the Jumbotron to watch himself break away? You know,
absolutely.
You see him look up.
Running backs or defensive backs.
Yeah.
But quarterbacks are different. They understand that we may want to do these things, but we have too much on our plate, so we're not. Only thing you hear from quarterbacks is what? They're promoting, you know, a charity event. Or, you know, they may say something after a game like, big win, fellas. Something like that. But these 32 quarterbacks that are starting quarterbacks in the NFL, they're typically not on social media during the season. They're not, because they understand they have too much on their plate anyway. And I think Will Levis will learn that. That's why I said I need to see or know, was he doing these things during the season as well? Was he taking out the time to do all this social media stuff during the season? If he was, then he's going to have to change. That has to change day one.
And I think that there's two different ways that you could look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this who he is as a person?
Mm-hmm.
Is this inherently his character? Or is this something that he's going to grow out of?
Yeah.
What do we think Mike Vrabel thinks about it? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your texts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Forrest Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. So we have heard so much about Will Levis and so much digging into what he has done. I mean, Rich Gannon called him a Don Juan for having his sisters, his mom, and his girlfriend at the draft.
Don Juan goes back to the 17th century, by the way, since we looked that up.
Yeah, we're really digging back into ancient history in order to label Will Levis here. You know, that he's arrogant, that he's entitled, that everything that he has said, I think, has been nitpicked under the tinted glasses of Will Levis is arrogant. And maybe he is. Maybe he has a little bit of that entitlement. But I wonder, is that who he is as a person? Is he an entitled person? Is he an arrogant person? Or is he just young and immature, and he came from being a big fish in a small pond to now he is an itty-bitty minnow in the Atlantic Ocean? And I think that understanding understanding Mike Vrabel, the framework that he wants to have for this team, the culture that he has in this locker room, I think that he probably saw Will Levis and said, look, we can work with this. He's a guy who's probably a little bit immature. He's a guy who probably needs to be knocked down a few pegs, but the talent is undeniable. I don't think Mike Vrabel would have drafted Will Levis if he thought that he was an arrogant person.
Yeah, and not shapeable. Not
exactly. Like Plato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes Mike Vrabel strikes me as this kind of guy. He's got a vision for what he wants the team to be like. He really emphasizes it. Not, and most coaches are like this, but he really is, I think, good at it, creating that environment of it's about the team. You know, we are tough. We are together. We're galvanized, and you got to be a part of it. I think sometimes when you're like that, you feel like you can take a couple of projects. You know, if indeed he feels this way, so you know, I can take a guy and shape him a little bit here. I'll bring him into our environment, and he's gonna learn how to be a good teammate. He's gonna grow into that leadership role, which is great. Again, that they don't have to just he's not gonna be handed anything. They're in a position where they don't have to hand him the job. He's gonna have to earn the job. He's got to start by beating out Malik Willis, which is level one, and then level two is you got to win the starting job. But he's got to earn it. But that's kind of the way it should be. You guys brought an interesting thing up during the break too, of just the way young people are these days and how social media can sort of infiltrate your daily values, your daily beliefs, just your daily lifestyle. And you know, the younger you are, probably the more cool you think it is to do stuff that gets attention on social media. Whereas the next generation up, the Mike Vrabels, are like, wait a minute, no, that's not how we roll. But how does so that's what Mike Vrabel and all those guys have got to figure out is how do we, as these guys come up and they've grown up, they've had a phone since they were in the seventh grade, and you know, they've been trying to get attention. Hey, look at this thing I just did. I got a million likes or something like that.
Damn.
People think that's cool.
A lot of likes. Yeah.
Mike Vrabel could care less, probably.
Well, Mike.
But you got to deal with that, right?
Well, Mike spoke on that briefly, I believe, not too long ago about, you know, he understands that basically this is sort of the generation of individuals where social media, and he knows that you can monetize, you know, yourself based on your social media following and what you're promoting. So I think Vrabel, if any coach understands it, I think he does, because it seems like, you know, he has a good pulse. He has a good feel on the pulse of what's going on in the building with his players. And not just that, because you got to learn what's going on outside of that to really know, you know, what your players are going to potentially bring inside the building, and I'm talking about social media. So you got to understand that whole landscape, because the Titans use it too. So he has to understand it to a point. They use it to promote, you know, the team, the organization, events that they're doing, you know, giveaways, whatever. The Titans use it. They saw the thing they did for this schedule release. You know, it was nice. They had the, you know, camera coming down and going into a bar. And was that Jeffrey Simmons at the front thing? I saw one. I think it might have been Jeffrey Simmons giving people
like stamps.
Yeah,
like stamped.
And it said party release or something like that. It looked like them. But
cute. That's a cute.
But it's you use social media to promote your brand. And Mike, I think more than hell, probably a lot of other coaches, because he sort of is, you know, we're all, and I say we, I mean myself, Willie, we're in that sort of in between where we got a bit of the old and we got a bit of the new too, and our kids are young enough where this is what they grew up in, so we understand. We may not like it all, but we understand it. And Mike, I think, understands that part, but he does want his quarterbacks or his players to know when we walk in the building, it's about work. Now, when you leave the building, okay, you have some things that maybe you have to do that may require social media. You might want to post something. That's cool. I'm fine with that. But when we're working, we're working. That's all it's about.
I think that's a fine line between coaches and GMs understanding that social media is a way to grow a platform. We always say NFL not for long. You got to set yourself up for success post-football somehow. Social media could be that. It could be a way to monetize ads. The infamous Celsius ad that Ryan Tannehill posted on the boat. Things like that. But also the player needs to understand, especially Will Levis being a quarterback. Now you're in the league. Now all eyes are on you. You cannot put a target on your back. You can use it as a marketing tool, as a tool to, you know, build your brand, as a tool to make a little bit of money on the side, to make those endorsement deals. But also understanding you can't be eating a banana with the banana peel on an Instagram live on a Saturday night when you're playing the Ravens on a Sunday.
Yeah, you can't do that.
There are certain, you got to grow up a little bit. That you can use that tool to your disposal, but you can't be posting pictures of yourself in a side by side showing off your muscles. it's a give and take here. This is your job. You're a professional. We all, I grew up in the social media age. I had a MySpace in middle school, and I grew up in this. When I became a professional, I had to understand that I can't post the things that I posted in college. Exactly. You got to grow up. It's your job now.
And do you think it's different? I think it's different for the quarterback as opposed to
everybody
Taylor
else.
Lewan, the lineman, who, you know, he's had his own version of these kind of wacky things. The brand, all of that stuff, right?
But that's I think he stored it. I think he tapered down a little bit, too.
I do think he went through an evolution of that. Where's the right place for all of this, if that's your natural personality? But I do think the quarterback has got to look beyond just his own needs because he is under the microscope like nobody else.
Because it's what is it? Because it's a trickle down. It's taking an owner out. Obviously, the owner has to be sort of the standard. Like, this is how – this is how I want my team to operate. These are the things that I do that I want, you know, the good things that I want to filter down through my GM, through my head coach, through the other coaches, through the players. So the owner, then the GM is held to a certain standard where, you know, you ain't going to see Rand Carthon putting out stuff on Twitter and all this other stuff. I mean, you might not ever see him put anything out. Someone may put something out for him that he's given okay, but he's probably not going to sit there and write it, especially not now because he's so inundated with so much other stuff that's going on. So it goes from the GM to the head coach. Well, hell, Vrabel. I don't even know if Vrabel got an Instagram or anything else. He probably don't.
I think he has a TikTok. I think he said that before.
Well, he probably got a TikTok. So, and his kids probably got him to do that. But and then from the head coach, who is it? The quarterback. The quarterback has to be that guy that no matter what, he stays on an even keel. He's putting his head in the book. He's doing all the things that you want your team to do. It's, okay, look at the quarterback. The quarterback is responsible. He's doing the things. He's here early, leave late. They always talk about that with quarterbacks, okay? Then if you want to have a good, you got to emulate the quarterback in a sense, some of the things. Hard worker, in early, out late. These are the things that you have to do. And you hopefully what the quarterback does, it trickles down to the team, and then you have success from there. So the quarterback is always going to be held. I think of any other sport out there, the quarterback is held to such a standard that sometimes some guys can't handle it, you know, because it's almost like you got to be squeaky clean. Like you can't truly be yourself because you always have eyes watching you, you know, and you can never make a slip up because if you make a slip up, then everybody's pointing their finger and everybody's ridiculing you or whatever. So you got to be careful as a quarterback, what you do, what you say, how you act, what face you make. All this stuff.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, it comes with it.
And I think that that's something that Taylor Lewan learned is it's really fun to be that social media podcasty guy when you're playing well. And then we saw after that Arizona game a couple years ago, it turned really quickly. Yeah. And the pro podcast people all of a sudden turned to, well, get your butt off the podcast and start practicing and start playing
and
well.
For a quarterback, it's double, triple that, for sure.
Totally.
And maybe that's the lesson for Will Levis here before he gets started. Maybe that would be the best thing for him to realize, you know what, this whatever I'm getting from this social media is not worth it because it's just, you know, people are going to pick apart what you wear to the press. If you think they're picking apart what you're doing now, it's the same thing is going to be when if and when he earns the starting job. They're going to pick apart what he's wearing to the press conference, how he acts after games, how he acts at press conferences. Just welcome to the world. This is life's lesson number one as a pro.
You see what they did to Malik Willis when he got up there 100%. After a game? They tore him apart by his response. Well, and I'm not going to sit here and try to defend him whether it was good or bad, but those are the things that happen when you become or a starter at that position or you're starting a game at that position. You got to be very careful when you go in and answer those questions, how you answer them. You may not want to answer them, but you got to answer them a certain way anyway.
Welcome to the NFL.
Absolutely.
And speaking of some pre-draft controversy, there's another player in this year's draft that was dripping in controversy going into the draft, and it just got even more complicated. We'll get into that coming up next. Elliot Friedman in 30 minutes. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. You can tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6.35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So we know the situation with Jalen Carter. Of course, Georgia defensive tackle, taken 9th overall by the Philadelphia Eagles. Fantastic football player. But he was dripping with controversy going into this NFL draft because of the lawsuits that were open and the situation that he was involved in. This goes back to a horrible and tragic accident that involved a former Georgia, I believe, offensive lineman and a Georgia member of the recruiting staff. Those two, unfortunately, passed away in a car accident. And Jalen Carter was involved that night. They were drag racing. They were going over 100 miles an hour. There was alcohol involved, at least in the car that unfortunately wrecked and killed both of those people in the car, the former player and the member of the recruiting staff. So we know that as of a couple of months ago, Jalen Carter will receive no jail time, at least where it stands right now. He had a plea deal with the Athens Clark County prosecutors, and that he just had to serve community service. He had a $1,000 fine, 12 months probation, basically a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, two misdemeanor charges, racing and reckless driving.
Yes. And so really around draft time, a lot of that had been settled. The dust had settled. The Philadelphia Eagles, at least from that point, knew what Jalen Carter was dealing with. Well, now we've got some new information on the situation. The father of the Georgia offensive lineman, who unfortunately passed away in that car wreck, is suing Jalen Carter and is it Georgia Athletics?
The school's athletic association.
So is that different than the athletic department?
That's what I'm not 100% sure on based
is that
on that.
Like donors?
I mean, what else could it be? Like the school's athletic association.
Donors or an NIL group? I don't know. Anyway, the root of the story is the father of the offensive lineman who passed away is suing the Georgia Athletic Association for $30 million and an additional $10 million for Jalen Carter in this lawsuit for the two misdemeanor charges of racing and reckless driving. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer. None of us are lawyers. None of us are private investigators. We have the information at hand for what happened that night and what Jalen Carter has been accused of, or at least has been charged with. But now the question is, where do the Eagles go from here? Like, what is this situation going to be for Jalen Carter moving forward? Is this going to be something that he serves his time, he pays his dues, and then he just moves on from it? Is this something that's going to be plaguing Jalen Carter and potentially infringing upon his rookie season? I don't know.
Well, it's an extremely sad story. We talked about this some leading up to the draft because who knew? I mean, we didn't know for a time how much this would affect his draft status. We've seen guys slide down a board because of something like this.
Rightfully so, and there are legal question marks.
And you look at a person's full character, you can be a pretty good person and make one terrible decision, mm-hmm. and it affects your life, and that's what's happened here. So the question is how responsible, is Jalen Carter for what happened that night? And there are a lot of details that are out, but there's also a lot of questions that we don't know. It just seems like it's one of those things where you would need a documentary. It might be one of these cases that's drawn out a long period of time. I do wonder what the case is specifically on what they're saying Carter did. He participated in the race. So how much does that make him responsible for the car wrecking, right? It was a terrible decision to do this. There was alcohol involved. His lawyer says that Carter was not drinking that night. This happened at 2:45 in the morning. And he says he did not leave the scene of the accident. He was told he could go home. But these are all questions. I'm sure the family of the player that lost his life, who is doing this lawsuit, I'm sure they want to get to the bottom of all the things they've probably been compiling, as any family would, all of the answers that maybe didn't come through on the initial police report.
Absolutely.
So this is something to watch for sure. I have seen things like this where maybe you just you plea bargain out, you pay a certain amount just so it doesn't go down. I don't know. Like if like you say all the time, Derek, if you know you didn't do anything wrong, then you shouldn't be uncomfortable at all with what comes up, even if you or if you take responsibility for what you feel like you did do wrong, then that's better than just, you know, the other. Like just but so I don't know where this is going to go, but I guess I had not read all of the details on this. I only knew in a general sense what happened. But in reading it, it's like, wow. Okay, this is extremely sad. Like, what if you're Kirby Smart too? You see this going, like, what a terrible thing. This is one of your employees, one of your players, and your start. This is, goes well beyond just Carter, right? There's a whole circle that you got to ask yourself what was going on here.
And the grief.
The grief, yeah.
Yeah, it's what happened impacted more. It impacted more than just the people it happened to. It sort of, you know, families were impacted by this and everything else. You just wonder, like, from a legal standpoint, and obviously, you know, I dreamed that I was a lawyer one day, but I'm not a lawyer. I dreamed that I was in the courtroom one day. But you just, from a legal standpoint, how Jalen Carter, how liable is he if, you know, two adults, young adults, and they could have been, you know, drinking, they could have, I don't know. At least we don't know from Jalen Carter because I don't think they did a test. He didn't perform.
So his lawyer's point is, look, they investigated. Uh-huh. They only charged him with the misdemeanors.
Yeah, for
if he had done something way worse, they would have charged him with vehicular homicide and, you know, far more serious offenses, felonies and stuff like that.
Exactly. So you just don't know, like, exactly what happened from Jalen Carter's standpoint. Like, okay, you're speeding. Both of you are racing, drag racing. Did y'all get in the car and say, let's race? Okay. If we did not do that, we both get in our cars and we're both heading in the same direction. Who started racing first? Who started? Because we know how this goes. I mean, listen, I've been there, you know, when you're with your buddies and, you know, you got a fast car. Even as an adult, you know, it's you see clear, nothing's around. You know, on the highway, nothing is around. It's just you and your homie, your boy. And, you know, you may rev that engine up a little bit more to get past them. The speed limit may be 65. You doing 70, then he do 75. Then you do 77, 80. So y'all kind of going back and forth. Did it happen like that? Because that's one of those deals where it really wasn't a planned out thing. It just sort of, it happened. And because of it happening, because of what transpired, someone lost their life or people lost their lives because of it. But how was Jalen Carter, how did he affect the other car? Did he, as they were speeding, did he clip the car?
Well, this is what...
it needs all the things we don't know.
This is what the police investigation has put out there. It was 2:30 a.m. They left downtown Athens. They went out to this road. The evidence demonstrated that both vehicles, one driven by the woman that crashed, the other driven by Carter, the evidence demonstrated that both vehicles switched lanes, drove in the center turn lane, drove in opposite lanes of travel, overtook other motorists, and drove at high rates of speed. And the car that crashed was traveling about 104 miles an hour shortly before the accident. And the woman, her blood alcohol concentration was 0.197. That's about twice the legal limit. So it looked like a race where there was, you know,
it was just
changing lanes,
out of the traffic, and whatnot. And was, again,
it concluded
you think about
alcohol impairment, racing, reckless driving, and speed were significant contributing factors to the crash. Now, it doesn't look like they have any hard evidence that Carter had been drinking.
Exactly.
So his lawyers come out and say he wasn't drinking. You know, you can
accident,
draw your own conclusion.
In an accident like that, shouldn't, or maybe they don't, because if you were not part of the accident, if your car, there's no damage to your car, you're not the one a part of the accident, then are they going to, unless you show that you are impaired when they're talking to you, do they take a test if you haven't been a part of the accident? Like if both of y'all were going in the same direction, like you and I, and we knew each other, you and I going in the same direction,
yeah.
But you get in a car accident and I stay there until everybody comes, I don't think, unless I show that I'm, you know, impaired in some way, they're not going to test me.
If you're going over 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
I'm sure they would.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but mm-hmm. let's be completely real and honest. Mm-hmm. This happened in Athens. He's a very high-profile football mm-hmm. player. If I am a police officer in Athens and I'm mm-hmm. a big Georgia football fan, I probably tell him, just go home.
Jump to that conclusion, yeah. But we do wonder, did he get some preferential treatment, the benefit of the doubt, something? Because whatever the investigation put, obviously it was not satisfactory mm-hmm. to the family mm-hmm. of the player that died.
But again,
they think there's something more. Otherwise, you don't go through the lengths to try to sue.
You're right, but it goes for
that amount of money.
Like, okay, if all three of us were, I don't know, jumping. Like I used to do back when I was little. I used to jump from building to building. Like,
oh, goodness gracious, Derek.
Yeah, I used to do that. Like, my school building, they were close, and me and my buddies.
How high up we talking here?
Oh, we're talking high. we're talking about a middle school.
Oh, talking like Spider-Man here.
Yeah. Gosh. So, but they were not, like, that far apart from each other. The buildings were not. But they were big buildings. So if me and my buddies are out, and we decide, all right, we're going to climb on top of, the school was Columbus back in the day. It was right across the street from my school. They had the kindergarten, the elementary, and then the middle school. So it was all right there. So, sometimes, like, during the summer, we ain't had nothing to do. Parents is at work. Doing stupid stuff. We decided to get on top of one of the buildings and jump from one building to the next. Well, we all felt we could make it, and we did. But what happens if one person jumps and doesn't make it, ends up falling, kills themselves, hurt themselves real bad? Can you then blame me for that? Because they chose to do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the
unless that, there was some
that's
other
a central question
yeah.
of the case, I'm
exactly.
sure, right?
Unless there was some other circumstances involved in it. So
it's a difficult situation.
Yeah.
And I know that the Eagles are keeping that in mind, and that's something mm-hmm. that you have to keep in mind when you draft a player or you get involved with a player that does have, you know, legal proceedings ahead of them. So we'll continue to follow that and keep everyone updated. But let's have some fun coming up next. Caroline Riley, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Time for another edition of Would You Rather. D. Mays is in the questions chair this week. Sports and non-sports hypotheticals. What would you rather do? D. Mays,
what do y'all want?
Now yours.
What do y'all want first? Sports or non-sports?
Let's do non-sports first.
Okay.
All right. I have one for you. Wrote it down. All right. Here's a good one. Now, you have to know the characters in all of these, like these two groups. You got to know the characters.
Okay.
Because if you don't know the characters, it's going to be hard for you to sort of answer the question. So, first, would you rather team up with Wonder Woman and her crew,
uh-huh.
which is they are the Marvel. They're Marvel.
No, they're DC.
They're DC. Or would you rather team up with Captain
Wonder Captain Woman, America?
Yeah, Captain America and his crew.
Okay, so the Marvel crew.
Yeah, the Marvel crew. So
it's like the super
DC,
friends.
Yep. Either you team up with DC or you team up with Marvel.
The Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers.
Yeah.
Which one would you rather team up with?
Well, let me see which one is which. Oh, first of all.
Okay. I'm a DC guy.
Yeah. So you know the characters, Batman, Superman.
I love both.
Aquaman.
Yeah, I'm a total sucker for all of these movies. I've spent a lot of money on some bad superhero movies.
I've seen them all, too.
Some are better than the others. But I love them. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have always slanted slightly towards the DC crew from a kid.
Okay.
I love them both, but if I got to choose, I'm going Super Friends. Wonder Woman, Batman, okay. Superman, Aquaman.
But see, the argument with Batman is he really doesn't. Is he really a superhero?
He's a vigilante.
That's kind of what's fun about
yeah.
him. Is he's supposedly just a regular guy that uh-huh. doesn't have anything magical. right? But he creates all these things. Like, in theory, we could all become Batman if we put the work in. And,
if we're cajillionaires. Just,
we didn't need any, you know, divine or, you know, alien or, you know, get bit by a radioactive spider or anything, you know? We're not mutants.
Absolutely.
So this is tough for me.
Now, Wonder Woman's got some special...
Yeah, see, Wonder Woman's different.
She's like the Superman equivalent.
Exactly. Aquaman is different. Yeah. Okay.
So there are really only two superhero franchises that I have followed and movies that I have loved, Spider-Man and Batman. So that's tough. A little Marvel
and there's
versus
about
DC
a dozen
action.
Movies now about each one, which is it's getting a little bit too much, right? There's a few too many of these.
Sometimes it's like, how in the world do they keep coming up with storylines for these characters? Yet they surprise me yet again. I do love Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. So
I'll
go
with
Marvel.
I'll go with Marvel.
Well, I'm more of a Marvel guy.
You're more Marvel
guy? Iron Man, Spider-Man, stuff like that. Because to me, those are like. They got real powers. Black Panther, they got real power. Yeah. You know,
that's just a good one. Yeah. Black Panther's a great movie.
It's just something about Marvel. And their movies, to me, have been better, you know?
Oh, is Iron Man the movie?
See, I go back
Iron
to
Man is Marvel, though.
He's Marvel, but is he a superhero?
He's sort of like Batman. He's sort of like Batman,
nice
yeah.
Yeah, but I like Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm more partial to the cartoons and the comic books going. So that's where I was shaped. So when these movies started coming out, I was like, all right, let's see how they do this. Because I've got my image of what Batman is from how I was shaped as a kid. So it's always interesting who puts these movies together. There's more hits than misses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes you come away going, that wasn't Batman would never do that. Or Spider-Man would never. Because it's like three different. Like, remember the latest Spider-Man? There's three different guys who played Spider-Man.
Oh,
they all come in.
The Spider-Verse. Yeah.
And you're like, which one was your favorite? Like, who's the real Peter Parker? Who's the best
Tobey Maguire is my Peter Parker.
Totally.
I agree. I loved that version of it. Yeah.
Let's do a sports one.
Okay. Sports one. Here's a good one. Would you rather watch a regular season game courtside? With everybody, just courtside, everybody, your mama see you, your daddy see you, your friends, everybody see you on the big two. Oh, there's Caroline, there's Willie, in front row.
Yeah.
Or.
Like the Suns owner.
Yeah, like the Suns owner. Or you could be sitting next to the Suns owner.
Okay.
You just don't know.
You'd be safe if you're sitting next to the Suns
owner. It's just a regular season game. So you might be playing nobody, a jabroni. Just playing any old body, somebody, the worst team in the league, but you're sitting courtside.
Okay.
Or would you rather be at game 7, the NBA finals, but you're all the way up at the top in the rafters? Which one would you rather be?
Okay.
Which game would you rather be at?
I love that. That's a great question.
That's a tough one because I feel like both is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity or like a really cool opportunity, sitting courtside or game 7.
Mm-hmm. Of your favorite team.
Okay.
Your favorite team.
Is the cost the same? Basically, either somebody gave you the tickets or you paid the same because it's game seven as opposed to a regular season.
No, I mean, you know, it's
about the same.
It's about the same. Okay. Whether it's, you know, regular season, you're going to pay X amount of dollars, but then it depends on who you play. The tickets are a little bit less if you sit in courtside.
I think I would take the game 7 just because I don't know if I'd ever get another chance to go to game 7. I think the chances may be better down the road of finding some random game where I could get in the front row. Game 7, if it's a game that I cared about, I think I would. I just want to be in there. I want to experience it one time.
Okay,
I'm taking Game 7 top row.
So I'll take.
I'm not a sneak snob. I do all the Predators games from the top row anyway. So I'm way up there.
Just be there.
Yeah,
I'm a seat snob.
I am. You would do courtside?
I would be forced to do courtside because my son would say we're going courtside.
Bougie.
Yeah, he would want to be courtside.
Bougie.
Yeah, that's just him. Especially if it's the Lakers.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a no-brainer.
You gotta
just to be
cool.
Near the guys like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
That is a cool experience. Yeah. Just it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you, when you're that up close and personal and you can see the game from that level.
Exactly.
But like my favorite team, LSU football. I've been, you know, at the sidelines covering the games. I'm right there by the bench for like LSU Syracuse, LSU UAB, for some jabroni games. But I was at the national championship game in New Orleans when they played Clemson, and I'm in the press box. So I am at the absolute top. I'm the absolute nosebleeds. Give me the nosebleeds in the national championship any other day. Being sideline is cool, but being in the environment of those big games, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah, if I'm with my son, he's going to want to, you know, sit courtside, again, especially if LeBron's playing. Yeah, he's not paying for it. I am. But especially if it's LeBron, he would want to sit courtside. So if I'm with him, we got to sit courtside. If I'm not, if I'm with my boys, then let's sit up in the Raptors game seven and just enjoy it. You know, because I think because you may not get that opportunity again. Your team may not be in a game seven again at that magnitude.
And you get to say for the rest of your life, I was there.
I was there.
At game seven when the Lakers won.
I was there. So we got one more.
Let's get one more in.
All right.
Now. Oh, we got another. So I thought I turned my brain off. I got to turn my brain back on.
Here's a good one right here. So would you rather find true love today? You already got true love, Willie.
Yeah, so I may be ineligible for this
exactly.
question.
Exactly. Caroline, you may have true love too. I'm not going to say that. You have true love too.
I think I do.
I think we all do. But would you rather find true love today or win the Mega Millions next year? And we're talking about a big purse next year. Which one would you rather have?
You find
true love today. True love. You know how that is, Willie. You have it. You know how it is.
You know my answer then.
Yeah, you by default, it better be.
He's afraid Aaron's listening.
Exactly. We're live. We're live.
Could I win the Mega Millions? And then take my true love around in my Bentley?
No. That's not the question.
I'll go true. That's the true riches is true love.
Okay.
Aww.
Y'all lying.
You don't want to be rich. You want to be rich
Y'all
in life.
Lying.
You don't want to be rich. You want to be rich in life.
Listen. Give me that money. Give me that Mega Millions, okay?
You got Mega
Millions.
What I need.
Hey, exactly. Give me that Mega Millions.
Hey, I'll eat ramen as long as I've got someone to do it with. We will chat with Elliot Friedman, SportsNet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast coming up next. Caroline Millie-Dimes, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.